reading to you from Mark 9 and 50th verse. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with another. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And friends, I've been trying my dead level less to preach. You know what? We finally got those two songs out now. I was out there with my producer, and he's got the songs ready to send out, taped. So, boy, you pray that God will use them, because that's what we're made for, to bring honor to God, not to man. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? You have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Mark, and let's begin reading with the first verse. And when they had came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the tree, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered unto Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. We've labeled this the Lord's true servants. Now, the message that I wish to bring is about God's true servants, and the question could be asked, what kind of a servant would the Lord choose to send on an errand? Let us see from our text that kind of servants the Lord sent. Now, we see in verse 1, And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Well, first of all, they were converted. They were called disciples, true followers of the Lord. Jesus said, Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we read in Matthew 18:3, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friends, I am not a recovering alcoholic. I am a converted alcoholic. And when I hear people say, well, I'm recovering, I know that they're AA people because that's what they teach. Am I against AA? No, but they don't go far enough, I'll tell you for sure. Another thing of the true servant is they were converted, and I read verse 2 and 4. And he said unto them, go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath given need of have need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Well, friends, listen. So they were converted people. In verse 2 it says, Jesus said, go. In verse 4 he said, they went. They went immediately with no questions asked. I would call that consecration, wouldn't you? I think that two of the greatest verses having to do with what I'm talking about are found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it says this, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be there transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Friends, that's the most important. You know what? People say, why do you think smoking is a sin? Well, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you present your body a living sacrifice, then you're going to try to get rid of things that's hurting your body. You know what? I'm on another diet again. Why? Because my weight, you know, as a diabetic, and I'm not going to use that for a big excuse, but diabetics do have trouble with weight problems. Now, the Lord desires that his children walk, talk, look, smell, and act like his children. Now, they were also courageous. And let's go back to the scriptures. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And a certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing this colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. Okay? Now listen. These were courageous men. When they were questioned about taking the colt in verse 5, they showed great boldness and said that Jesus had commanded. We need to be brave in these perilous times. Those who are filled with the Spirit are courageous. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, my friends, what a testimony. Can people look at you and I say, well, those two people have been with Jesus. I surely hope so. And of course, according to the scriptures, these true servants of God were consistent. They let nothing take them off on a tangent. Without wavering, they delivered the colt to Jesus. There's positively no excuse for not serving the Lord consistently. Let us be consistent. 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Friends, listen. Okay. You got saved 25 years ago. and you started going to church, and you followed the Lord in New Testament baptism, and then you went to a pastor's class and learned how to take what the Lord's Supper was about, and that there was only two ordinances of the local church. And then you begin to be challenged as what God wanted for your life. Now, friends, maybe, perhaps, something's happened in your life. Something really sad. And now you're no longer consistent. You're fault-finding only. And you look at the people in the church and say, well, they're hypocrites. Well, where else would a hypocrite be welcome or would work? In a church, of course. Well, anyway, we will never do anything in vain if it's for the Lord. What did he say? What did he say here now? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if you're going out and do something in the flesh, of course, that won't be for the Lord. But if everything you do, you try to do to bring honor to Christ, God loves that. Oh, I loved when I led a woman, and her husband was a terrible alcoholic when I was going to Bible college. And she was a sweetheart. One day she called me on the phone, and she said, Brother Mo, where in the Bible does it say you must be saved again? Well, number one, it doesn't say that. Well, she said, I read it. And I said, no, you didn't. You said you saw where it said you must be born again, not saved again. And she said, well, whatever it is. And I said, well, what's your problem? She said, well, I've got a man down here, and I'm dealing with him. That gal would witness to anybody, anywhere, anytime. She was always unmovable. Oh, friends, that's what the Lord wants for your life and for my life. You know why there's so many unhappy Christians today? Because they're not doing what God asked them to do. Do you realize that when you got saved and the Holy Spirit heart came into your heart and God took out the heart of stone, gave you a heart of flesh, he had a call upon your life? You say, yes, he does. He has a call upon every born-again believer. Everybody's name who appears in the Lamb's Book of Life has a call in their life. Have you decided what yours is? Well, you know, you got one talent when you're saved. You got one talent, but he says you need to put that talent to work, and then he'll give you other talents. And I want to tell you, you've probably heard me tell this story, but you know, when I was a little boy, I remember going to the Granada Theater in the Dalles, Oregon, down on the main drag. And it was talkless movies. Well, they had a big old organ in that place. And that organist would play, during the intermission and also during the movie. And I told my mom, I was 5 years old. I said, Mom, you know what I wished I could have? And she said, what's that? I said, I'd love to have an organ. Oh, she said, honey, that's just for rich people, theaters and doctors and so. Well, I never gave up that thought. Someday I was going to own an organ. Now, after I accepted Christ, I was having some problems, stomach problems, and maybe you might call it withdrawals. I don't know if it was, but I was having some problems. So I went to this Christian doctor, and then he sent me to a specialist. Well, I went downtown this day, and the doctor, right across the doctor's office, was a organ and piano store. And I thought, well, I've got a few minutes. I think I'll just go in there and sit down and see if I can play that organ. So I walked in, and a man met me, and I said, sir, could I sit down on one of those organs? Because I'd played the piano since I was 4 years old. And so, sure. So I went over and I sat down on that organ, and oh, I prayed, oh God, if you'll teach me how to play that instrument, I'll play for you any time you want me to. And I meant it. Well, so When I started going to Bible College in Riverside, California, our church had a beautiful organ. And I used to ask the pastor if he'd let me go up there and practice on one. I said, any time Brother Cease you wanted, you go up there and practice on that organ. Well, I practiced and I practiced and I practiced. Then one day, I was able to purchase a cheap little secondhand organ. Oh, I was so happy. I thought I died and went to heaven. Now, years and years later, I was called by our pastor. Our pastor was out of town, and they wanted me to fill in for him on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. Well, this church was a kind of a cold church. I mean, you could skate down the aisle with ice skates. Now, they were really a cold church. They were nice people, but they were cold, indifferent. They didn't care whether souls were saved, and you could tell by there was no baptismal services. And it was sad. So I preached my heart out Sunday morning. I guess I probably laid a great big old egg because I didn't think I got through to anybody. So that day, that afternoon after lunch, I started trying to prepare a message for that Sunday night service. You know, friends, I couldn't get anything together. I couldn't get a thing together. And I thought, my, what am I going to do? I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be able to say something for Jesus. So anyway, I kind of gathered up some kind of a scripture I was going to use. And so I went in the pulpit, opened my Bible. And it was just like a little voice said, you said, if I taught you to play the organ, that you'd play for me any time. I said, that's right, Lord. And I closed my Bible. Walked into the organ loft, turned the organ on, and my wife, her face went white, says, what in the world is that crazy guy doing? And I got up there, and I started playing for Jesus. Oh, my friends, it was just like, I don't know how long I played, probably 5 or 10 minutes maybe. And did you know when I turned that organ off, God gave me a message, and I went in a pulpit and I preached. He said, if we love him, we'll follow his commandments. And he's told us what he wants for our lives. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to be a loving Christian. He wants you to be a prayer warrior. I want to ask you, friends, how many names do you have on your prayer list? You say, I don't have one. I just pray whenever I think about it. You should have a little prayer list in the morning when you get up. That's the best time to go to the Lord in prayer because you're fresh and your mind's all freshed up. You're not tired. And then you need to pray for those people one by one. And then during the day, it wouldn't hurt you to drop a prayer for somebody else. And that's the one thing I believe in. Though I'm not a great prayer warrior, but I sure do pray a lot. And on my radio family, I've got prayer warriors, my stars in the morning. And they'll call me and say, Cecil, would you pray for so-and-so? Sure. And then I'll say, wait a minute, I got somebody for you to pray for. So they do it. But that is one of the most important tools you got in your treasure chest, is the power to pray. Pray for your pastor. Oh, my stars, his pastors need prayer. Pray for me. Boy, do I need prayer. Because, you know, at 85, I'm not the smartest whip in the world. In fact, the matter is my mind sometimes wanders. I'm admitting it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It goes with old age. My hair is white. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not a bit ashamed of white. In fact, the matter is I like white hair. You say, Cecil, you lost it. No, I haven't lost it. But God wants us to be converted, and he wants us to be concentrated, and he wants us to be courageous. Friends, I got to tell you a quick story. Before I was saved, there was a married family that had twins and they had four children. And he was an alcoholic, along with me, and we used to go to the bars together and drink. And, you know, I always was able to, because I was a contractor, and I was always able to make money. But Bill wasn't. He didn't do very good. So I'd take money over to him, or I'd take groceries over to him. Well, now I receive Christ as Savior. He's the first man I went and witnessed to. He sure is. And I wouldn't told him what Jesus did. And he said, "Oh, Mo, I joined the church in the Methodist church back in Ohio. I used to sing in a choir." I said, "That doesn't make you a Christian, Bill. The Bible said you have to have a born-again experience." Anyway, one day I drove by to see him and his wife, and Bill was gone, and his wife was there, and she was crying. I said, "What's the matter, Lola?" She said, "Well, all we've had to eat for 2 days, the children and I, is raw potatoes." I said, "Well, why didn't you cook them?" "Because the power's been turned off." "Oh," I said, "I'm so sorry." Now, I got in my car and I drove home. And what do you suppose my wife had for dinner that night? Fried chicken. Brown fried chicken. Oh, my, how I love fried chicken. Well, I started to eat it. Couldn't get it down. I couldn't get it down thinking about that family up there who had no power and had no but raw potatoes. I got on the phone and I called two deacons. I hadn't been a Christian very long. I said, "You know, I've been helping this family long before I was a Christian. Could you suppose some of you guys could dig in some groceries and help me with that family? Because I wasn't very prosperous at that time." And you know, I had a car, and they filled the back of my car with groceries and even gave me a $20 bill to give to them. I went over to their house to deliver the thing, and Bill come out, and I said, this is from my church. "Oh," I said, "I want to thank you." "Oh, no, no, Bill, don't thank me. Thank God, because I couldn't get that chicken down my throat thinking about you." Make a long story short, one Sunday morning I went over and I said, "You're going to church?" "No, I'm not." I said, "Oh, yes, you are." He had a hole in the seat of his trousers. I told him I was going to break his neck if he wouldn't go to church with me. Isn't that terrible? But he went to church with me, and he got saved. Oh, gloriously saved. Now, see, that's what the holy boldness the Lord's talking about. I hope you have it. Now, these people were concerned. He said they were concerned about bringing the colt to Jesus. The colt is like a lost sinner. It was tied as a sinner is by sin. The colt was by the door where two ways met. So is a sinner near enough to be saved and faced with two ways, the broad and the narrow. Now, Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the ways which leadeth to destruction, and many there be going thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth it." Our main objective should be to get the sinner to Jesus. Oh, listen, friend, my prayer for you is that you'll be one of God's true servants, converted, concentrated, courageous, consistent, and concerned. You say, "Cecil, wait a minute. You're over my head. I've never accepted Jesus." Well, my dear friend, you can sure do it tonight. If you have a tugging at your old heart and you realize that you're lost, doomed, and damned, and you'd like to know Jesus, you'd like to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you how to do it. First of all, bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful prayer. "Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I'm a lost sinner. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen." You prayed that prayer. Get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Dear friends, I am waiting right now for your call. 303-471-8534.
Burden. Need. touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I'm so happy that we could be tonight. I'm happy I'm not in a rest home tonight. And I pray for our health. Pray for my wife and I as we go to prison, as we go to the rescue missions, as we send these tapes out, that we'll be a blessing to people who listen. Oh, friends, listen. I don't claim to be a great preacher, but if I can communicate Jesus with you, I'm doing my job, and that's what I love to do. If you have a problem, you want to talk to a preacher who won't jump on you, give me a call. I'll talk to you. Sure will. Because I am concerned about people. I'm concerned about you. I love you, but more than that, God loves you. So until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.